We're in the book of Romans. Next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, but the Sunday after that will be the last Sunday you'll look at that Romans logo. We're going to do something different after that. Today is January 10th, even though the top of your bulletin says 17. I have absolutely no idea how 17 got there and how the is in the outline didn't get there. But after I folded about 10 of them, I noticed that, that's odd. Anyway, today is really January 10th of 2016. I titled it Righteousness is Through Faith. We're in the book of Romans chapter 3. We're going to cover 21 through 31. My outline looks like righteousness is through faith. Number one, forgiveness is through Jesus. And number two, justification from sin is through Jesus. So if you look at those three things, how many of them are Jesus' job? Two out of the three, right? What is really our job? Just the faith. Jesus provided the forgiveness. Jesus provided the righteousness. Jesus provided the justification. And our job is that abstract thing that we call faith. So, kind of a different introduction. If you were going to lead someone down the Romans road to meet Jesus, where would you start? Would you go to 3:10 from our last week's passage? Do you have the chain of scriptures written in the margins of your Bible or your New Testament so that you could get your hands on the Romans road if you needed it? I write up passages right next to the next one. And I'm not apologetic at all when I get to do this with people that I say, this is the place we need to go next. And sometimes I forget. Honestly, I was putting all these verses in and I got 3/4 of the way through it and I had to go get my Bible because I couldn't remember. So it's a good idea to put them in. I'm going to give them all to you and then at the end I'll give you a review. And I would encourage you to just write them in your Bible and have them there or a little New Testament that you can stash someplace. In Romans 3:10, it says, there's no one righteous, not one. And from this week's section, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Then where would you take them for the next step down the road? If you went 3:10, 3:24, then where would you go? Would you go to Romans 5, 8, and 9? But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Then I jump over to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus answered and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. Then I flip back to John 1:12 that says, all who receive Jesus, all those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not of natural descent or human decision, but born of God. Then lastly, I go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I read 8 and 9, but I have a whole bunch of verses in there underlined that I usually share with people when we're there. And it says, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not works, so no one can boast. I have high hopes of getting to walk somebody down that road this year. How about you? In your New Year's resolutions, in your goals for 2016, did leading somebody down the Romans road, introducing someone to Jesus Christ for a personal saving relationship, did that make your list? So, in review, I start at Romans 3:10, then I go to 3:23 and 24, then I go to 5:8 and 9, then I jump over to John 14, and then back to John 1:12, and then lastly, I conclude in Ephesians 2, 6 through 9. There's a bunch of good ones there in Ephesians once you get that far. So I encourage you to plan and prepare like you're going to get to do this in this next year. So righteousness is through faith. Forgiveness is through Jesus. Paul shows us the way to be declared not guilty for our sin. Romans 3, 21 through 26 reads something like, "But now apart from the law, righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between the Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness and to present at the present time so as to be just and the one justified those who have faith in Christ." So A on your outline, I wrote, righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Believe, faith, trust. You could use trusting in that place. Believing, trusting, faith. All the same thing. That's how you receive this righteousness. Trusting means putting your confidence in Christ, taking away your sin to make you right with God. Then we trust him to empower us to live the way he taught us. So you trust him for the righteousness, you trust him for the forgiveness, trust him for the justification, but you also trust him to empower you in such a way that by faith you could actually experience his resurrection life. When he sent the Holy Spirit to the first century church, it was a dramatic demonstration of what he can do. Sadly, in our culture, in our day, it's less of a manifestation. And I think that's because of our faith, our belief, our confidence, our trust in him. B on your outline. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Your blank is glory. So living out the glory of God is the standard. That's the goal. I watched a couple playoff games in NFL football yesterday, and the goal of all of that is to get to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal. Every year when they show up for training camp, that's the goal that every team sets, is they want to win the Super Bowl. Now, our goal as Christians is higher, more difficult than that competition. It's to live out the glory of God in the earth suits that we have, in the distorted, sinful culture that we live in. That's the goal. All of us sin, but sometimes we think one sin is bigger than another. Any sin can cut you off from a holy God. Sin separates you from God, and they need to be washed. They need to be dealt with. They need to be confessed. They need to be atoned for. Don't minimize the little sins or overrate the big sins. All of them separate us from God, but they all can be forgiven. Any sin, even a little white one or a big black one, separates you from God. They all can be forgiven, but in practical sense, each one of them requires our exercise of faith to facilitate what God has started. Each of us needs to take responsibility for our personal sin. God works differently with each one of us because we're not the same. When you look around the church, none of us look the same, even though some of us are biologically related. And when God works in our life, it's different because we're different. So what happens to work for me may not work for you because you're not me. No matter what God has done in your life before, do not rely on that. Build today on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Holy Spirit he gives. Some of us, if we've come to know the Lord and we've walked down the road with him for a while, we begin to trust in patterns and past practice. And look back at the good days, the glory days, or look forward to what we do today is we build on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the church, not the pastor, not the bishop, not the worship. It's on a person, Jesus. People try to reduce God to a method or a pattern or a past experience, something to practice. Now, God's purpose is the process, not the end. It's the journey, not getting to a destination. I've went on several vacations in my life, and on the way, people are excited about getting there, but not necessarily as much the road trip. And that's the way it is a lot of times in the kingdom of God. We're looking forward to getting to heaven and experiencing this wonderful paradise. And in fact, we're supposed to be experiencing today and the process as much as getting to the destination. I'll never arrive at Christianity. I'll continue to walk with God in an eternal adventure, continuing to get to know him. That's my pilgrimage. I'm quite confident that when I get to heaven, it's not sitting around the table just eating. There's a process, an ongoing development throughout eternity. This process that we're starting now, this is just preschool. And I think it goes on continually throughout eternity, that there is more to discover about God. There is more for us to experience. It's never gonna be there. It's never gonna be done. See on your outline, all are justified freely by grace into redemption. How good does grace sound to you as a new year starts? It sounds really good to me, because when I sit down and evaluate last year and evaluate my life now, I am deeply humbled and thankful for God's grace. He gives grace, we exercise faith. And in a practical sense, he even gives us the faith that we exercise. What is redemption? When you think about redemption, what is it? It's a process of Jesus setting sinners free from slavery to sin. That's what redemption is. Jesus paid the redemption with his life. I've often wondered, why did God let there be slavery? Why was that in the Old Testament? Why was it in the New Testament? Why even was it in the new country of America? I watched several things on my television about how accurately they would document the slave trade. And in many cases, there's more history of the slaves because they were an asset, an owned property, than there are some of the family members of the slave owners. And I've tried to figure out, why did that terrible thing happen in our nation, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? I really don't know the answer, but the only good thing I can find is that we could understand redemption from sin when we looked at slavery. Someone who was bought, paid for, redeemed, set free, given their freedom in physical slavery is an illustration for us to understand what God did. Now, I don't know if that's the reason he let it happen. There is some reason that he let it happen, but that's the only good thing I can find right now. Anyway, D on your outline. Jesus's crucifixion demonstrates God's justice on committed sin. For biblical justice to come, someone's got to pay for the wrongs done. In our country, justice very seldom makes it into the judicial system. Very seldom is there justice done for the crimes committed. Oftentimes, it's just exactly the opposite. But in biblical terms, someone needs to pay for the things that were done wrong, and they need to pay four times as much as what they did. It's not a one-for-one ratio. So when you look at your sins, a little white one is really five. or four. Four times one is four. It's four times. If you do five, it's 20. It all multiplies. And the more you look at sin in your life, it's exponential in its growth. Justice means something has to take place to make that right. Somebody needs to pay for our sin. We can, in an eternal separation from God in the pain of hell, or we can take Jesus up on his offer of substitution. It's our call. Sitting here in the room, listening to this online, you can, by faith, do one or the other. So, number two on your outline, justification from sin is through Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, I'll try to read 27 through 31. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. Because of the law. Because of what law? Excuse me. The law that requires works. No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? He is not the God of the Jews. Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, Gentiles too. Verse 30. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by the same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. A on your outline, the person is justified by faith, apart is your blank, apart from the works of the law. There are two big things to think about in that. One of them is faith and the other is the law. They are two different things. The law is a system of things to do, and they're used to get one closer to God. Most religions prescribe duties that must be done to make oneself acceptable to God. The Jews reading Paul's letter in Rome may have been concerned that Paul was doing away with all their traditions and practices. In our day, it's Islam that gets the most attention for their different practices taught in the Quran. I'm sure that ISIL will be on the national news today. People are killing each other today over these ideas. They're starving millions of people in Syria. And it's just amazingly disturbing to look at the costs to innocent folks in the midst of this religious war. Christianity is the only religion that teaches our salvation and relationship with God are by his grace. There is no Buddhist religion that teaches that, no Hindu religion, no Muslim religion, no atheist religion, no secular humanist religion. There is none but our Christianity that says it's only by God's grace, only by Jesus Christ, and only by faith in that one man, Jesus Christ. Christianity is unique in teaching human achievement or personal development will not close the gap between God's perfection and our imperfect performance. We're the only ones that say it's not going to get you closer to God to do it all right. The only way to get close to God is through Jesus. Living our lives in a way that we do good deeds is very important, but that does not get us eternal life. We are saved only by trusting that God has done through Jesus Christ. So I'm not telling you not to try to do what's right with the right attitude for the right reasons, humbly and gracefully every day. No, I am telling you that's really what Christ's life in us should look like. But it's not going to get you closer to God. Being more religious is not going to make it different. Faith in the person, developing that relationship with that person, is the only thing that gets you closer to God. We started our study today with thoughts on Ephesians 2, 8 and now. 9, I want to add 10 to that. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Each one of us has a list as we go into the day. God actually has a predetermined list that he wants us to get to. Good deeds in that day. Now, whether we do his list or our list is a big difference. How we do his is through faith. But we are anticipated to do good works as Christians. So, now let's try to think about faith. What is it, and why does God save us by faith alone? First of all, I thought faith admits that we can't keep God's laws perfectly. We need his help. In order to change, the first thing you need to think about is you have something to change. Second of all, most of the time you need help to change that. Faith eliminates our pride in our human effort. Faith is not a deed or things we do. Faith is a soul and a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Faith is a choice of our will, a decision to trust in someone else, something else, in abstract spiritual power. Faith exalts God and what he's done, not what people can do or what we have done. Faith is based on our relationship with God, not our performance. The law is easier to explain and teach how to do. Faith is intangible, so abstract. It's so out of this world, maybe even otherworldly or heavenly. And somehow or another, I think those two things are supposed to work together in our lives. As I came into the new year, I decided that I need to lose some weight. And when I get on the scales, I need to lose a lot of weight to get back to where I felt good. So there are things that I need to do to accomplish that goal. But there's also a faith thing that's involved in it. I lived with a lady that for 20 years said she was going to lose 10 pounds and never got it done. There is a faith that's a part of that, as well as a doing is a part of that. I have to have the faith to believe that God can do that in me, not in somebody else, not through a system, but through a deeper personal relationship with him. I can get his or suit closer to where I think it should be, to where I would feel better, have more energy, a lot of stuff. But it's both. And so I think it's the same way with these things. Our righteousness, it is understanding things, but it's putting faith in them. Our forgiveness is understanding things that he did and things that we did. And then by faith, walking in the Spirit and accomplish justification. Same way. It is something he did, but to experience that, there are steps that we take in this relationship. It doesn't just magically happen when we click our heels together three times, no matter how cute your shoes are. It's something that's both. Be on your outline. There's only one God who will justify all by faith. So there's one God, only one Savior, only one way. People say Christians are narrow-minded, and we are narrow-minded. We're on a narrow way. We're on a narrow path. Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. As we look at the world we live in, there's a lot of people walking a wide, broad path, even in churches, that is going to lead them to destruction. There's a very narrow path, one person, trusting in only Jesus, one man, a small door, just the size of him. Trusting in him is the only way to be justified with God. Justified means being declared not guilty. Legally, it's as if a person never had been accused. That's what this means to be justified by faith and considered not guilty. When our forgiveness for sins, our record is washed clean. From God's perspective, it's as though we had never sinned. That's an amazing thought. Being justified, being washed, being redeemed means it's just like you never did it wrong, and you were never even accused of doing it wrong. That is some something that is worth our time looking at the faith. That would be a great way to start our new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son paving the way, paying the cost for us to become righteous. Thank you for Jesus alone paving the way, clearing the road, paying the price for us to be forgiven. What an amazing thing. Only through Jesus is the way to justification available. Gift of grace is one of your coolest creations, God. So humbly we seek your grace. Humbly we ask you to exercise forgiveness and righteousness and justification in our lives as we deal with others by the power of your Spirit. We're humbled before you as we ask these things. And we ask you to exercise our faith, as I'm going to try to re-implement physical exercises into my life. I pray that all of us would strive to exercise faith in your only Son more often than we did yesterday, or last week, or last year. And we would continually grow in that process this year. We trust you to accomplish it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.